opening statements, so let me step away from the pulpit while I make these statements. Just a quick thought before I begin my message. You know, generally in the past, I've always made the statement that in the house of God, we got to be paying attention. We got to be focused on the things of God. Whether it's praise and worship, whether it's prayer requests, whatever it is. And there should be a protocol in the house of God. There should be some kind of protocol to say, you know what, there's certain things we do and we don't do. So maybe this is what I need to do tonight. Maybe it's time to start calling people out for some of the behaviors in the church that shouldn't be in the church. And with that, church, I'm going to go to my message. Okay? I was actually going to start raising my voice, but that's just not me. My message tonight, church, and Brother Lucas can put it up there, is fearing fear. What I wanted to do was invoke an emotion in some of you. I wanted you to get that thought in your head, and you guys probably think, yeah, Brother Larry will do it. I want you to have that thought in your mind that, oh, you know what? He's going to say something that's going to embarrass somebody in the church. You know, church, sometimes we develop fears, phobias. One of the biggest things in the house of God for a Christian, well, for us Christians, is fear. If we can stand for the reading of the word, I want to begin with one text, with one verse in my opening text. My message is fearing fear. I want to start with the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. You know, what a thought, church. I want you to think about this. I know, church, I'm not going to call anybody out, so most of you at ease, you may be seated. And while you're seated, I'm going to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. Thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to preach your word, to be able to come into the service tonight, Lord. Father, to be ministered to be able to minister, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit, for faith, dear God, that overcomes all fear, for your mercy and grace that overcomes all fear. We're grateful to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, dear God. We thank you for your sovereign hand of healing. The service this morning, Lord God, allowing your sovereign hand to move, Father, tarrying at the altar, Father, till we see something, till we hear something, Lord. And dear God, we're grateful to you for that, Lord. Thank you, dear God. We invite your spirit into this place to remain here in this place, Lord. May this place, Lord God, be hallowed, Father. May we be a sanctuary where the Spirit of God continuously dwells, Lord. As in the days of old in the temple, Lord, the sweet incense continues to burn, Lord God. The fire continues to never go out, Lord. Father, may it be so in this place tonight. And we thank you, dear God. We worship and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Fear. What a thought. You know, this first verse, what a thought. Brought you out of the world and covenanted with you. His spirit was to reign with us, and fear not. You know, fear is a very powerful word. Mankind always deals with fears. And your biggest fear, church, isn't Brother Larry's preaching and he's going to call me out for something, or one of the rangers. That's not your biggest fear. There's a lot of things in your lives that you're dealing with right now. Fear, it keeps us prisoners. It keeps us from expecting a healing. It creeps in when the results come back positive. It says you are too low to see for a God that is too far up. It says hide your Christianity from scrutiny. Don't be a Christian out there. You know, we hear statistics. We hear numbers, church. You know, and it isn't so much. You know, we kind of pick on the millennials. There was a report here a couple of weeks back, and I failed to make a copy of it. But it talked about, you know, sometimes we tend to think it's the young people, you know, the younger generation that's in church, young adults. They just aren't saying in church. You know what, church? It's not even that. It's the kids are coming in unchurched. And because of the way they're being brought up, are being indoctrinated that they don't need to be churched. And sometimes the church stands in fear thinking what is going to happen to the body of Christ. Well, let me reassure you, church, the body of Christ will always stand. Fear. It says that you're not good enough. It screams at you that you are a complete failure. It questions and reminds us of our past. It screams at us, what about now? It taunts us with the word, when? Where's your healing? Where is your promise? Church, what side of fear are we on tonight? You know, there was an article here a couple of days ago in the newspaper, and I read it through, and there was something that got my attention. It was a grandmother who had twin grandchildren, and she took their lives this past week. These young boys, their mother had already taken her life. Grandma was raising these boys, and she took their lives. And you know what the newspaper reported? It said, you could see the fear that she had of the future, the sheriff said, according to the station. She was afraid she wasn't going to be able to handle it. She had fear of the future, and she was afraid. Fear, it causes us to do things. It causes children to die, to languish in pain. It causes people to lose hope. Fear is such a powerful word, church. And tonight, I'm here to tell you that fear has crept into the house of God. We talk about the fear, the respect for God. A different form of fear. Respecting who God is. But I'm talking about that other fear. The fear that keeps you up at night. That makes you worry about certain things. And you know who institutes all that? The enemy. The enemy sits there and he taunts us. Every day, every night, you leave this church service. You'll go home and you will face uncertainties and situations. Whether it's work situations, whether it's personal, whether it's family, whatever it is. The enemy says, you know what? It ain't going to work out. And the enemy comes into your homes and he taps his fingers and just says, when is all this supposed to happen? He starts to put doubt in our lives. Fear is such a powerful word. What is fear? You know, I looked up a definition of fear. Fear, the noun portion of it, for some of you scholars, it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. Some of the synonyms are terror, fright, fearfulness, distress, anxiety, worry, uneasiness, apprehension, unrest, doubt, worriment. Be afraid of something. Fear. You know, church, we have fear on the outside. And sometimes we carry fear on the inside. We have to deal with the fear on the inside, church. That is what keeps ministries, that's what hinders, that's what ties ministries, keeps people from growing and developing. Even ministries themselves, it's that fear, that unknown. We fear to love, we fear to live, and we fear to leave. My 3 points tonight, church. There's a fear of then, a fear of now, and a fear of when. I want to touch on that first point, the fear of then. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 with me. And it reads like this. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. You know, church, previously Adam was not afraid. Adam didn't have fear. Previous to this, Adam had it all. And he didn't have fear. He had respect. He had a fellowship with Almighty God. And somewhere along the way, the enemy came in the form of a serpent, in the form of temptation, and basically instilled the fear that we know today and left it because the enemy knew, the enemy had known that the Garden of Eden was something God had created that was beautiful for mankind to exist with a sovereign God. That was supposed to be perfection, church. But the enemy knew, you know, I couldn't stand up to the Almighty God. I couldn't have His kingdom. I couldn't be like the Almighty God because He was cast down. But He thought, you know what? I'll go after His greatest creation. I will go after mankind. And one of the tools I will use will be fear. And He put fear in mankind. And church, we haven't been able to shake it off. Adam, he spoke directly with God. This is exactly what the enemy intended for Adam. He introduced the idea of hiding from God. Man is still hiding. This morning, you know, we've heard the message about running. Running to Him, running from church. You know, mankind is still hiding from God. We are still trying to sew fig leaves together. Trying to make aprons to hide our nakedness. To hide our sin. To hide those things. And God is saying, that's not the way it was intended in the beginning. Man is still hiding. You know that Adam did not fear the beasts in the garden. Adam had no enemies. It was perfect. Think about that, church. It was beautiful where he was at. But all it took was the enemy coming in and instilling fear. Genesis 2:19 records, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Genesis 2:20 says, "And Adam gave the names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." You know, church, he had no fear of animals. There was no phobias. Nowadays, many people cannot stand spiders. Can't stand snakes. Even the thought of a snake for some people is a revolting idea. Certain things we can't even look at. Phobias, the fears. Fears put into our lives because Adam became unfaithful for that 1 second in eternity. And you know, church, that effect continues on in our lives, in mankind. Adam as a created being was needing another created being to help him. There was no fear as God had mentioned to him that he would provide, and he did. You know, church, I believe that God, Adam, had such a great fellowship that he told him, "I want you to name all these animals, all these beasts, and you have no fear. You will have dominion. You will tend the garden. You will tend these animals. But you know, I think you need a helpmeet. I think you need somebody that is created just like you, that is going to be a help, not a hindrance." It was perfection, church. It was perfection. That was the way it was intended. You know, Adam had no fear of the first surgical procedure and miracle as Eve was formed from his flesh, from his bone. No stitching required. I wonder, church, if God, when he closed up Adam, if he left a scar as a reminder, a scar on his side to remind him, "She came from your side." I wonder if it was to remind Adam where Eve came through, not from. It was to let Adam know God is still perfect. Was that the first scar? The first anesthesia applied? Because as we know, Adam fell into a deep sleep. You talk about trusting the Creator and the Maker. Now, church, I reason in my mind and think, you know, God could have completely touched the soil, the ground, and said, "You know what? Out of the soil, I'm going to create a woman." But there was something beautiful about what God did. Adam already came through the dust of the earth. Now Eve was to come from his side. Not from his crown, not from his feet, but from his side. To always be by his side. Genesis 2:21-23, of course, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You know, church, the world is teaching our children in public schools. They're teaching that they were probably gender neutral. They teach our children that there was not a male and a female. They were just individuals. The arguments go on and on about the race, about the creed, the color, everything about Adam and Eve. And church, you know what? In God's perfect world, it didn't matter. Because church, they were all one individual. One man. A perfect man with a perfect wife. And some of you men in here look at your wives and say, you know, I believe that you could have been perfect. And she'll turn around and look at you and says, you know, I believe you could have been perfect. Nobody is. You know? And sometimes we think that'll really cause a lot of problems. But church, you know, it wasn't supposed to be that way. Fear. Fear. Adam was not afraid of death, for he knew no death. Was he supposed to live forever? I believe it was. You know, church, science tells us that your skin regenerates on a human being up until the aging process catches up to you. Your cells regenerate every 7 years. Approximately 7 years, you're a new person, Brother Matthew. 7 years ago, you were just, there's a lot of dead skin cells someplace. That what was you. You know, you could be beside yourself, okay? Actually, it's probably food for a lot of dust mites. But you know, they say every 7 years, our bodies regenerate. And I'm not picking on Brother Matthew. I'll go to this side of the room. And you think, church, that's what God intended it. It was perfection. Adam was not afraid of death because he hadn't experienced death. He only knew life. That's all he knew. He knew fellowship with Almighty God. Adam experienced the first death in his spirit and witnessed the first death with his eyes. If we go to Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. You know, probably church, Adam had never seen a carcass, had never seen an animal die, had never experienced what it was. Later on in the days of Israel, we find that there were certain rules, Levitical rules about not touching an animal that had died. There was carcasses. Carcasses could be found because animals die. But church, in that perfect garden, there was no carcasses. It was all life. Adam did not know what the inside of an animal looked like. Adam did not know about death. But when God had to come down because of his disobedience, and Adam had to see that first slaughter of an animal to clothe him and his wife because of disobedience, fear causes that, church. Fear. This was the garden where creation was to go on forever. That was not normal, church. What was normal, is what was supposed to have happened in the Garden of Eden. That was normal. You know, the new normal people talk about now is a sinful life. And they've already expounded on, said, you know, the new normal is gender neutrality. There is no longer grandmothers. It's a grand person. And we go through this cycle. And people in their sick minds, in their twisted minds, have continued to raise an ugly fist at God. And say, we're going to do what we want. But deep down inside church, they have fears. Because the day will come. The fear of our past. What fear keeps us in our past? What continues to surface? God, I was afraid, so I've hid from you because I know in my past I was completely out of fellowship. You know, church, all the things that we thought we left at the altar years ago when we got saved, but now we realize we have been carrying them because I believe, church, we picked them back up. When you first went to the altar, church, and asked God the ABCs, the salvation plan, the Roman road. The first time we went to the altar and said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Somewhere along the way, church, many people decided, I'm going to go back to the altar and pick something up. Because I'm really not done with this. I'm really not ready to give this up. You know, if we look at the tabernacle of God, during the days of temple worship, the offering was to be left consumed with fire. Whether a burnt offering, a sin offering, a peace offering, or trespass offering, there were specific directions concerning what was to be consumed on the altar. There were specific directions, church. It still applies to us in our walk with Jesus Christ. When God said, you are to leave these things out the altar and I will consume them, you know what we've done many times? There were parts of the animal that were to be consumed, other parts that were to be taken out outside of the camp. And many times, church, we go outside of the camp of fellowship, and we pick up those pieces, those carcasses, the unclean things, and what do? We take it home with us. That's not the plan of God. Because, church, how else are we ever going to overcome the fears in our lives? Because some of those fearful things, we pick right back up. The fear of our past. The same voice Adam heard directs fear and uncertainty and whispers to us to take back what needs to be consumed at the altar, at the place of prayer and consecration. Fear reminds me of a tortured past, what I was and what I did, and screams at my soul that I am still that man. You know, church, fear comes back and reminds you of where you failed. Fear comes back and says, you're not any better now than you were back then. Because fear reminds us that many times we took something back up maybe we shouldn't have. Let us commit tonight to resolving our past, what has held you back. Whether your personal walk, your relationship, your vocation, your ministry, your desires, your dreams. Church, we got to move from being a spectator to a participant. We got to move from being a consumer to a producer. Works and grace. 1 John 4:18 reads, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. 1 Peter 2:10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know, God is still merciful. And God is saying in the previous verse, fear hath torment. A merciful God is giving us an opportunity to get rid of the fear. There is so much fear, church, in decisions we make. In some of the things we pray for in our lives, the things that affect us. There's many people out there with struggles, church. There's fears deep down inside. And they have sat in there. And they have said, this will never happen. Fear tells you it'll never come to pass. I'm telling you, God says, yes, it will. But church, grab that fear and move it aside. Take that fear to the altar and say, God, I'm going to allow it to be burned. I'm going to allow it to be removed. I'm going to, just like the Levitical rules, God, I'm going to allow you to just burn, consume this thing, Lord. Get the fear out of the church. Get the fear out of your life. Get the fear out of your soul. Because God simply wants to say, out of my mercy, I'm going to do it for you. The fear of now. What's the greatest fear facing the church today? Is it the lack of integrity? Is it the dwindling numbers? Is it the faithless people? I didn't say faithful, I said faithless. Across America tonight, church, many churches, they close down because there's not enough people to even fill the pews. Just a lot of people don't think that church is important anymore. You know, church, when I was growing up, my mom first got saved, kind of telling on myself. I remember growing up, I was unchurched, meaning my mom had just got saved, and now she was expecting us to show up to church Sunday morning, Sunday school, then service. Oh, wait a minute, that's already an hour and a half, 2 hours. Oh, by the way, we get to go home and eat lunch, and we got to come back again. I remember the thought of Sunday afternoons, nice summer day, that was a time for play. That was the time to have fun for us kids. And I thank God that my mother persevered in getting us into the house of God and understanding that we get to go into a church to worship, to pray, to come to an old-fashioned altar to pray and say, God, take this, burn it at this altar. You know, church, and as a little boy, I remember my mother began to backslide. She was struggling with things about church and trying to serve, trying to be a wife to my father who was basically godless. And I remember getting up Sunday mornings and she would send her three little boys walking through these roads, through a couple of fields to get to this little old Assembly of God church. And we were, and all three of us boys, my brothers, we would get to this church. We'd have Sunday school. Of course, we didn't know about the preaching because as little boys, we were interested in Sunday school and let's run back home. But I remember every Sunday morning, my mom was, you guys need to get ready to go to church. Never understood why she didn't want to go, why she was struggling. But as an adult church, I see the fears that she had. The fears of married to a man who didn't serve God, refused to serve God, still refuses to serve God. And trying to balance that with boys, trying to balance that with Christianity, trying to balance that with salvation. I got saved. I want my little boy saved now. But I'm not sure if I want to commit. What was that fear, church? There's fears everywhere. As she would have overcome that fear. It, you know, I think about my younger brothers. Would they be in church tonight? Thank God there's two of us in church. The other two, God has made promises that the day will come. The fear of now. What is the greatest fear facing the Christian today? It is probably everything we have accepted to fear about. What is it about this generation that the things they ought to fear, they do not, and the things that we should have no fear, they do? Just a thought, church. We have the outward confession of Christ without the inward conversion. Let that sink in, church. We confess Christ on the outside, but we don't have that inward conversion. You know, Resurrection Sunday is coming, and so is April 15th. We had this discussion about taxes with the Rangers. We discuss a lot of things, church. You've got to give this boy some credit here. You know, church, that more Christians fear an IRS audit than an audit from God? I want you to think about that. More people will fear an audit from the IRS, a hand of the government, than an audit from Almighty God. There are some things people and businesses write off on their taxes and accept it as acceptable with little fear that an audit will come. There are some things we know are unacceptable and we write God off, but a full audit is coming. In our lives, church, it's the opposite. God is going to give you an audit. You are going to get a full-blown audit whether you like it or not. And we are going to be accountable. So you better 1099 yourself or whatever you got to do. The audit is coming. And where are you going to be found? Now, do we fear the IRS? I remember several years ago, I got a letter from the IRS. And it was as simple as just responding to them. And it was done. Do you fear them? No. Because if I don't fear them, church, because I have nothing to hide. There's nothing I'm hiding. And that's the way as Christians. We don't need to fear God and His judgment because we shouldn't be hiding anything from Almighty God. What holds me back today from a prayer for the sick that results in healing? It's fear. You know, church, this morning we're praying for this lady here in the corner, and I was thinking to myself, it's time to pray. I remember sitting over there, and I saw my wife praying on this side, and I kept thinking, I'm going to go over there and pray. Well, something might happen. Well, I want to be there. Well, she's doing a pretty good job. She's praying for her. And just something deep down inside was saying, practice what you preach. You need to go over there and pray with her. and pray there and wait until God says, God speaks, or God does. And many times, church, we're not tarrying enough. You know, we call for prayer service, and this is for the teenagers, the young people in this church, for you young boys, everybody. How many times do we call for a prayer and we come, we pray for approximately 3.5 minutes and we just blurt it out and we expect God to move in that time? You haven't even warmed up heaven yet. We still haven't done what God is expecting. What is the church's fear? We always develop a fear of things. We ask the rangers a question about healing. We actually talked to them about resurrecting someone that had died. What would hold them back from praying for someone? You know, basically all of them said the same thing. It's fear. It's the embarrassment. It's not seeing something get done. Is that the way we as adults are, church? How many people in this fellowship tonight would lay hands on a person that has just died? How many of you be willing to do it? We all question that, church. We all fear that. Because we would cringe. That is fear. Cringe is another synonym for fear. We cringe. We think, wow. Now, Lord, if you expect me to lay hands on this person who just passed away. And one of the boys actually made a pretty good point. What if they made it up there to heaven and now we want to bring him back? Just like, you guys are getting too deep for me. We're just going to stick with the basic question. How many people would actually lay hands? Think about it. I know I would have a fear about doing a church. The very first thing I would be thinking of is, can everybody clear the room? I think in the Bible they did this. Everybody has to leave the room while I pray. Right? So you get everybody out of a funeral home and say, I'm going to go lay hands on this person and pray. You know? You think it's going to work, church? Was my fear the fact that God may not answer, or my fear the embarrassment from people looking at me? And that was overwhelming. That's a response. That's us as humans. The enemy, when he dealt with Adam, he put that fear in us. And fear creates powerless people. That was the intent of the enemy, to say, you will never, ever, ever be able to accomplish anything. Because I'm going to put the fear in you. It's not the fear of God. I'm going to put your own fears, your own concerns, all these things before your God. And we do that, church. And I think about that. When I ask people to leave, will we all please step out a minute while we pray for this person? And how many of us would do that? I say I would. Because, church, there's something deep down inside of us that invokes that fear of failure. God is saying it's not about failing. It's about doing. It's about stepping out. The fear of failure, the fear of no results, the embarrassment, the lack of experience because we have never actually prayed for someone who got miraculously healed. There's some of us have never seen a miracle or have never actually laid hands on a person that was miraculously healed now. Fear tells us not to expect it right now, so what do? We chalk it up to it's God's time. In God's time, you'll be healed. How do you feel now, sister? Well, foot is still broken, but I'm feeling good. 2 weeks later, how do you feel, sister? I'm looking good. I mean, I feel good. Still in a cast, but hey, God's healing me. 6 weeks later, after the bone is mended, how are you, sister? Thank God I got healed. What was that healing? God's natural way of healing? Or was it our fear of saying, God, heal this person now in the name of Jesus? What is it that we fear so much, church? We fear our own inabilities, our failures. That's what we look at. We look at our past and think of our failures. We look at now and think, I don't have enough faith. Maybe I need to spend time developing more faith. You know, church, the fearless says, get the cooking oil at home and lay it on that person and expect the healing right then. That's what the fearless do. Just pour the oil on them. Spill a bottle on their heads if you have to. Do something where you're saying, God, I really mean business with myself and you, Lord. Because, God, I want to go back to that fellowship you had with Adam. I don't want fear. I want to be on the other side of fear, Lord. What holds me back from telling my relatives about the plan of salvation? It's fear. And by the way, church, just a thought. Our good intentions to soften the message is only a caution sign on the roadway to hell. Anytime you soften that message, that you're throwing out this little caution, all that is just a road sign. But they're still on that road to hell, church. I'm not saying we need to be so harsh with the message. It's time to lay the message out there. Because the message itself will cut. We don't have to cut the person. The message will. God will. God will do the work. God is our expectation. The expectation from God to us is we need to be on our knees, fearless, taking fear and throwing it out, leaving it at the altar, and God saying, okay, now we're ready to do business because you have no fear. The enemy comes in and tries to remind, tries to rebuke, and we say, I'm going to rebuke you, enemy. Fear. We've already testified with our lives. It's time to testify with our words. Psalm 118, verse 6 reads, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What a simple statement. What can man do on? What can man do to you, church? Think about it. We think of it as far as relationships. I'm going to be disowned by my family. I am not going to be able to talk to my family again. You know, church, the hardest thing is talking to our own family members. What's the worst they can do? Is get a little bit upset with you? Really, you think about that. Because some of us have been struggling with family for years. And there's some family members that will not listen. But church, it's like the person that persists and persists and persists. It's like the man this morning, the message that pastor had, the individual, Jim Thorpe, that ran, even with two mismatched shoes, he was still going to run. No matter what, even if you think the enemy has hindered him, he was still going to run and win. And that's what God is expecting us, church. Deuteronomy 1:17 reads, you shall not respect persons in judgment, but he shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. Let God hear the hard stuff. God will take care of the hard stuff, church. God is simply telling us, don't have any fear. Don't have any fear. Tonight, this world is loaded with fear. Fear of world wars. Fear when you go out this street, if you're going to be alive tomorrow. You drive it down these roads, these streets. Someone going to take your life. We have these fears. You know, even when the apprehension, when my wife drove to Albuquerque by herself, which is a pretty big trip, I remember the whole time you have this level of apprehension. It's fear. Is it fear for her? Yes. And many times we say, God, I'm putting it into your hands. Lord, we prayed about this trip. We've done our homework, Lord. And God is saying, put it in my hands. I will take care of it. That's the kind of God we serve, church. The fear of when? The voice of fear taunts us with the empty promises we wait and we hope to get filled. We still have promises of unsaved loved ones. When will this happen? Waiting for healings while people die before our eyes. When will this happen? The voice of fear accuses the brethren and says, when? When is the next big move of God in your community? When do I get that super clear unction from you concerning my life? When? The enemy comes and continuously reminds you, church. When is it going to happen? When is that person going to actually get saved? When? And he develops fear in our life, thinking maybe it's not going to happen. Church, we hang on to promises from the Word of God. We hang on to the promises about family members that are not in church tonight, that were not in church this morning. And God is saying, don't listen to the whens, listen to the nows. I have given you a promise. And the Lord Jesus Christ is never short on his promises. And God is simply saying, don't take those fears with you. Leave him at the altar. and burn them up. The voice of fear. Forget the when and move now. Now is the time to rid of all past and present fears. You know, as I was reading through church, Genesis 5:20, it records the story of Noah. Noah spent years building the ark, and scripture records that he had brothers and sisters. And I thought about this. You know, verse 20 starts, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and he begat sons and daughters. You know, church, just because those around us don't believe doesn't mean that we have to continue to wait. We need to move now, church. We need to move now. The when is the rapture shrouded in time, church. The family needs to know about the ark. They need to know about the cross. Our friends, they need to know about the ark. They need to know about the cross. The door of the ark is about to close, church. Who closed the door of the ark? The hand of God. And you consider that, and we say how close we are to the end of it all, church. We are building up to a climax. The next biggest event this world is ever going to see is the rapture. Is it going to be a world war? I don't know. But the biggest event that's going to affect all mankind is going to be the rapture. The rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. And we look at ourselves, church, and think, how much fear do I have? Do I fear the rapture that I may not make it? There's Christians sitting in churches thinking, I'm not even sure if I'm right before God. Am I going to make the rapture? If the rapture happened tonight at midnight, and you didn't know the time, but it's going to happen tonight at midnight, would we make it? Really think about that. Would I make it? If you have a fear, church, that we're not going to make it, it's probably time to make preparation. It's probably time to make it all right. It's time to remove fear, and it's time to get into fellowship. Adam had it made, church. Perfect fellowship, and all because of one serpent. All because of the enemy of God says, I'm going to destroy the most beautiful creation God has ever created. It wasn't the galaxies, church. It wasn't earth. It wasn't the stars. It wasn't everything we see around us. It was mankind, the most perfect creation. And the enemy thought the way to get back to God is to destroy his creation. And he instilled fear in people. Church, tonight, we need to get rid of fear. Fearing fear is not the life of a Christian. Fearing fear is not the life of a believer. It is time, church, to remove fear from our lives. It is time to step forward. As we talk to these young boys, church, you know, we discuss this, even listening to some of the boys. I had this thought, you know, church, what if one of these boys is the boy that's going to be one of these young men that has the gift of healing? Just touching someone is complete healing and restoration of body. What if it's our job, church? Some of us that are older to start training that generation. But we train them by showing no fear. Showing no fear. But church, it's going to take us as adults. Like I said, go back to that example. A newborn child that has just passed away. Do you have the fear? Or are you fearless about holding that child and saying, God, I'm going to pray for this child and bring him back to life. No matter how horrible the disease is, no matter how horrible the injuries, God repairs, God repairs, God restores, God does it all. Do we have that kind of faith? Or are we still have a level of fear, church? I'm saying, I still have that level of fear. Because there's many times I doubt myself. And I think, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for healing in this person, Lord. I have prayed for people over years and years and years in my life, in my young Christian life when I was, you know, we were first married. We pray for people and you have an expectation it's going to happen now and it doesn't happen and you take that disappointment and you carry it with you saying, well, that person didn't get healed. Oh, but it's probably because they got the ultimate healing. They went home. But I look back, church, and I have to reconcile my mind. Was I fearless? Did I really, really, truly have a relationship with God the way I should have? Did I have the same experience that Moses had on the mountaintop or in the tabernacle? Having that one-on-one with the Almighty God, where you had to shroud your face just because of the glory of God. But it showed just how close you got to the Almighty. Maybe I didn't have that, church. Maybe I just carried that message out of zealousness and say, yeah, everyone can get healed. Just got to pray this prayer of faith. You know, we talked about this even sometimes. Just name it and claim it and be done and move on. God's going to heal. Let's go on to the next one. And many times God is saying, you need to tarry in prayer. This person needed someone to sit there to pray with them and pray and pray. Because God heard your prayer the first time. God was just testing us to see just how much fear we had. Are you willing to stand there and wait? Or are you willing to finish it up and be done? God is saying, it's time. It's time, church, we tarry in prayer. Because there's many people that are in this world that are looking for someone who is fearless. That is saying, this person, you can throw them into a lion's den, you know what's going to happen? They're going to walk out with the lions. This is the person you're going to throw into a pit, and he's going to come out a king. This is a person that you're going to beat and beat to death, and this person's going to rise. That's the kind of fearlessness we have to have, church. God is giving us the ability to be fearless. I want to conclude with these thoughts. Many live with the example of the pessimist and the optimist and the glass of milk. We've always heard this. You know, the optimist sees a half full glass of milk. The pessimist sees a half empty glass of milk. I say, church, we need to look at neither of these, but the supplier of the milk and who owns the cup. Keep your eyes on him and dispel any fears, who eventually will allow the blessings to overflow out of the cup. Many times we get hung up on that, church. That's fear. What do I see in that cup? Why don't we look at who owns the cup and who supplies the milk? Who supplies the blessings, church? Psalm 23:5 reads, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Psalm 116:13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, I want to touch on John 19:30. We talk about fear. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When Jesus made this statement, he put us on the other side of fear, church. The devils heard these words and they feared. When Jesus Christ said, it is finished, everything was finished. The fear was gone from Adam to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, it is finished. We are on the other side of fear now. Church, it is time to be fearless. Whatever you have in your lives, whatever you're praying about, whatever, whether it's a physical situation in your bodies, whatever it is, emotional, whatever it is time to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I am tired of being afraid. I am tired of dealing with fear, God. The uncertainties, the test results, everything that comes back. Lord, tonight, I want to lay it at the altar. And I want it to be burned up, consumed. Let's follow the spiritual Levitical law, Lord. And I'm going to put this here, whatever sacrifice I'm going to give you tonight, Lord. But I want to lay it there. And I want your holy fire to consume it. And I want it to be done. 2 Timothy 1:7 reads, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Isaiah 35:4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Amen, church. That's a promise. So many promises in the Word of God. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. How much more do we need, church, to dispel fear in our lives? Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Time to get rid of fear, church. We need to experience his Passover, church. We need to experience his resurrection. God simply tells us tonight, church, if the church will please stand and we can get a piano player up here. God is simply telling us, church, it is time to put fear aside. Tonight, as I go back to that example of the lady, the grandmother that feared and decided to take the lives of twin boys. You know what are the chances of twins being born? The rarity of twins at times. And just like that, their lives are gone because of someone's fear, because the enemy has put fear in her life. His children had already lost their mother to suicide. And now grandma decides, I'm going to take their lives. And then she tried to overdose, but they brought her back. And I think, my God, what have we created? And God many times says, the enemy created fear in my people. And there are people who are not churched that have so many fears, church. But church, if they can see one fearless Christian who stands boldly on the word of God and stands and is ready to call the God who answers by fire, the God who lowers his sovereign hand of healing from heaven above, the God who answers him at the midnight hour, the God who continues to meet the needs. Every time this person speaks, it's wisdom, it's knowledge, it's the anointing of God. You know, church, God is simply looking for people that are willing to stay in the temple, that are willing to be anointed with oil, church. There is a story in the Word of God dealing with Aaron's sons who disobeyed and put strange fire before God. And you know, church, God took their lives. Even if they had the robes of the priests on, they were properly dressed as priests. God took their lives because they disobeyed. They put strange fire before God's tabernacle. And you know, when they brought these young men out after they had died, his sons, two of his sons died. When they took him out, Moses told Aaron, the priests, don't go out. You guys have the anointing, the oil of anointing on you. You're not to go outside of this tabernacle. You are to stay in. Basically, someone else is going to bury the dead. Someone's going to deal with them outside of the camp. But church, just simply, God is saying, I need the fearless who are going to stand. I need the priests who are going to listen to me and do what I need to be done. It's the last days, church. It really is. It really is. We had a message here a while back. Someone spoke about the little grain, a transmitter that they can implant in your body. You know, church, that grain's probably been out about 10 years now. I subscribe to a magazine. It's the Institute of Electronic and Electrical Engineers. I'm a member of that. And those magazines, they've been talking about all these discoveries for years now. Church, the enemy has been planting this stuff and doing stuff for years. The church, the fear that we have, the church is, well, you know what? The mark of the beast is coming. Church, the fear should be, the beast should be fearing the church of God. Those that oppose God should be fearing those that are fearless in the house of God. God is looking for those that are willing to be fearless and willing to fight. Church, there's one more battle left. And that's a battle for souls. It's not World War III. It's not any other world war. It's not the conflict, church. It's one more battle. And it's a battle for souls. Church, let's be fearless. Tonight, church, as we gather around this altar, let's find in our lives those things that we have buried deep down inside. And let's ask God to take those things out. And let's have them consumed at the altar tonight, church. And let's become fearless, church. We're coming upon Resurrection Sunday. It's time to pack the pews. How many of us are embarrassed to invite someone into our Pentecostal service? It is time, church, to move. It is time to be fearless. Because only the fearless are going to go forward. The fearful are going to shrivel up and die. God is looking for those that are willing to fight. Are you willing to fight, church? Let's find a place. Let's come to the altar. Let's find a place to pray.